Good morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our service of worship this morning by singing together the hymn number 138, first hymn in our order of service, a great hymn of praise regarding our Saviour. It says, "Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity." We'll keep our seats while we sing as the organist leads us in our praise today. Thank you. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord, praying for the Lord's help and blessing, that we might know the Lord drawing near this day, and that we might know each one the speaking voice of God to our hearts and to our souls. Let us pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we rejoice, O God, this day in thy goodness and in thy mercy, that finds us here in the house of the Lord to praise thee and to worship our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God and our Father, we come to thee in no merit of our own. Realize, O God, that in and of ourselves we have nothing to offer thee. Yet, O God, we thank thee today that we are accepted in Christ, the one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us upon the cross, the one who became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Father, we thank thee today for the perfect life of Christ, that his life was without blemish, without spot, Yea, indeed, he is the altogether lovely one. And Father, we thank thee that he kept the law of God perfectly for us. And Father, we thank that as our substitute upon the cross, he bore upon himself the penalty, the judgment, the wrath of God for our sin that was our due. The Bible tells us that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And Father, we thank thee that on that cross Christ cried out, "It is finished." He offered himself one sacrifice for sin forever. And Father, we praise thee that he rose again the third day victorious, alive forevermore, never again to die. And Father, we thank thee that by his death and by his resurrection, we thank thee, O God, that he has conquered death for all who will trust him as Savior. And O God, we thank thee today that in Christ we have the great hope of everlasting life. We have the great hope of a home in glory where we shall be with Christ and be like Christ forever and ever. And we thank thee, O God, that Christ is one who is seated at thy right hand in glory. And Father, we thank thee that there he intercedes for the people of God. We praise thee, O God, today for his precious blood that cleanse of us from all sin. We thank thee, O God, today for all the gifts and the blessings of God that thou dost give to us bountifully and graciously through Christ, our Mediator, our Redeemer. Father, we thank thee today for the gift and the ministry of God the Holy Spirit who dwells in the hearts of the people of God. And Father, we thank thee for all that we have today in our Redeemer. And Lord, we praise thee also, Lord, for the temporal mercies, the blessings of life that thou dost give to us day by day. We realize, O God, that every good and every perfect gift comes from the bountiful hand of our God. Do bless our coming together here in thy house today. We pray for a real sense of thy presence, O Lord. We pray for the outpouring of thy Spirit upon us. We thank thee for all who have been able to gather today in thy house and for all who are listening in online as well. Lord, meet the need of every heart and of every life. Encourage thy people. Strengthen every believer in the Lord. For any, Lord, who might be cold at heart, give that restoring touch. Any, Lord, that are maybe discouraged and distressed at this time, may they know the help and the nearness of the Lord. For others who mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, give them comfort. And Lord, grant them a real sense of the presence of God with them and round about them. For others, Lord, who may be with us today unsaved or listening in unsaved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray today by the grace and power of God that they might find Christ as Savior, whom to know is life eternal. We thank thee for our Sunday school this morning and all the boys and girls with us, and help them, Lord, as they prepare for Children's Day. May they know the help and the blessing of the Lord. And bless our teachers, Lord. May each one know the help and the blessing of the Lord in this work. Remember the work of our youth fellowship, the Bethel Children's Crusade. Remember the online ministry and the door-to-door ministry as well. Bless every aspect and every outreach from this congregation. We thank thee for those that heard thy word in the open air yesterday and in Enniskillen Town, we pray. And Father, we pray that that word would live on in hearts and bring forth fruit to the glory of the Lord. Bless our homes today. Bless our families. Do unite our family circles in the Lord, we pray. And Father, we pray, O God, that thou would just bless each one. And Lord, may each one know the help and the blessing of the Lord upon them. O God, we pray. Bless our land today, O God. We commit all our sister congregations to thee. We pray for every minister and student and layman, Lord, who would preach thy word. May they know the help of God upon them, we pray. And Father, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed today, we pray for the blessing of God to be upon it, we pray. And that precious souls will be saved, and that thy kingdom will be extended, and that thy church shall be strengthened, we pray. Have mercy, Lord, upon our land in these days. Turn the tide of ungodliness, we pray. Grant us a season of refreshing and revival and reformation from the Lord. Remember, Lord, those that rule over us in our land and in our nation. May they rule in righteousness and in accordance with thy word and with thy truth. Have mercy, Lord, upon our royal family. We pray that there the
the light of thy truth would shine into that household powerfully and mightily, we pray. And we pray for our missionaries today as well at home and abroad, that thou would richly bless them and use them for the glory of the Lord. Grant thy protecting hand upon them. And again, Lord, do restrain this virus in these days in which we live. And Father, we pray for those that are ill with it, may they know healing. Those who have suffered loss through it, give them comfort and give wisdom to our government in dealing with this whole situation. And Lord, may they realize their need of the Lord in it all, we pray. Do abide with us now, we pray. Cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood of our Savior. Prepare our hearts this day to worship thee and to meet with thee. And may all that is said and done be said with that single eye, and done with that single eye, to the glory and to the honor of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn this morning, please, in God's Word for our Bible reading to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm number 19, reading some verses from the middle part of that Psalm, just reading from verse number 7 down to the end of verse number 11. And then also, if you like to mark Revelation chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 1 of chapter 1 of Revelation down to the end of the verse number 8. So if you like to mark those two passages in your Bible, first of all, Psalm 19, and then Revelation chapter number 1. Reading first of all from Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11 of the Psalm, and here David is really exalting the Lord for the supernatural revelation of his word and of his truth. And he makes some tremendous statements here to us about the word of God. Psalm 19, verse number 7, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward." Then turning over to Revelation chapter number 1, we're reading there just from the verse 1 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse number 8. Revelation chapter 1 and the verse number 1. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, and to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 8. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading to all our hearts for his name's sake. I want to welcome everyone today in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here in the house of the Lord. We also welcome those listening in online as well. Our prayer is today the Lord will richly bless you. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be encouraged, led on with the Lord today. And if you're not saved, our prayer is that even this day will become the very day of your salvation. Indeed, if you're visiting with us, we extend to you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship.
I trust that you'll feel at home and that you will know the rich blessing of the Lord in your heart and soul today with us around the Word of God. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do you remember, please, the gospel meeting here in the church at 7 o'clock tonight? We commend that to you. Do remember that. Pray for it. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. And we'll be long to minister God's truth. Tomorrow afternoon, meeting here at the church car park at 2 o'clock for the door-to-door outreach. Do pray for that as the literature goes into the letterboxes around the community, that God will bless His Word. It's just really from about 2 to about 3:30, and encourage as many as possible to gather. But if you cannot come, do pray that God will bless the seed of His Word that is sown around the homes. Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m., the children's meeting in Tresna. And then the midweek prayer meeting at 8 o'clock will be the form of a special missionary prayer meeting. Our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, will be with us, no stranger to us here, to do a deputation meeting and giving an update in the work that he's involved in at the present time. And then there'll also be an offering to support our brother in that work. So do remember that. Do come along and encourage our brother and pray for him as he brings God's Word and as he brings the report on that evening missionary service on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Friday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting here in the church, and then the youth fellowship are having an outing on Friday night, meeting over at Castle Archdale Forest Park or Country Park at 8 p.m. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible gather and bring their friends as well for that evening of fellowship over there in Castle Archdale on Friday night at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, the 20th of June, is our annual Children's Day service. Is a very special day in our church calendar, so do be much in prayer for that. The Sunday school, 11 a.m. The morning service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service will be in the afternoon at 3:30. All the boys and girls will be taking part morning and afternoon. The guest speaker is our brother, Mr. Noel Shields from Annalong, an evangelist with our mission board. So pray for that, make it known, pray for the children as well. There are wee invite cards for that out in the porch, and we encourage you to take those and do all you can to invite a family member or a friend in for those special services next Lord's Day. And then our annual drive-in services will be recommencing this day fortnight in Enniskillen Mart. That's on the Lord's Day evening, the 27th of June, at 7 p.m., just down the road there, about 30 minutes or so. And that is going right through each Lord's Day evening through the month of July, at 7 o'clock and concluding on the first Lord's Day evening of the month of August. There'll also be a three-night mission at the end of that month of July with our brother, the Reverend John Morrow. Friday night, the 30th of July, 8 p.m. Saturday night, the 31st of July, 8 p.m. And then the concluding mission night on the 1st of August at 7 p.m. So be much in prayer for this outreach. Many visitors came to those drive-in services last a year when we commenced them at the end of the lockdown. So pray for this venture, that God will bless it, make it known, and invite and encourage people to come along even in their car and sit down there in the mart and listen to the Word of God each Lord's Day evening. So be much in prayer for this. Do also please pray for our brother, Reverend John Wagner, one of our ministers over in the United States, whose wife went home to be with the Lord this past week. So do pray for him and his family at this time, that they'll know much of the Lord's comfort and grace. Then also, our youth council are having a teaching day this coming Saturday, the 19th of June, from 10 a.m. in the morning to 5:30 p.m. in the evening. And the venue is Portadown Free Presbyterian Church Hall. It's open to all young people, and also a good day of fellowship and Bible teaching. And anyone wishing to go, if you're free, and if the young people, do contact our youth council representative, Mr. Richard Edwards, and he'll fill you in just in the details for that day. That's next Saturday. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn again to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, please, to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. And perhaps just before we come to the preaching of God's Word, maybe just to change our position, we could stand to our feet just for a short word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our meeting this morning. Lord, as we come now to the preaching of Thy Word, we confess our need of Thee. We confess that without Thee, Lord, we can do nothing. We cannot even create an anxious thought.
Yet, Lord, we thank that thou hast promised help, that thou hast said that our sufficiency is of God. And we pray for help. We pray for divine enablement to preach your word, O God, we pray, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of God the Holy Ghost. Bless thy word to the saving of souls, to the strengthening of the saints of God, to the exaltation of Christ. Undertake and give help now in the remaining part of this meeting. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. You may be seated. Our text of Scripture today really just consists of three words. In recent times, we've been looking at some of the great promises of the Lord to His people in the Scripture. Well, today we want to look at the promise of the Lord's coming, the promise of the Lord's second coming again to this world. And in connection with that great promise, our text for today is simply the opening words there of verse number 7 of Revelation chapter 1, where it says, "Behold, He cometh. Behold, He cometh." Now, the great hope of the Church of Christ is the Lord's second coming again to this earth. The hymn writer says, "For soon He'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by." Yes, the return of Christ is a subject that has often been preached upon. Dr. R.A. Torrey said, "The imminent return of our Lord is the great Bible argument for a pure, unselfish, devoted, unworldly, active life of Christian service." And the hope of Christ's second coming is a hope that is often mentioned and spoken of in the Scriptures, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Think of the words of Job way back at the dawn of time in the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 25. He speaks there of Christ and he says, "He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And there he was speaking specifically about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the gospel accounts, even the teaching of Christ. He often spake of His coming again. In Matthew 24, verse 44, He gives that great challenge to all mankind when He says, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And there He is telling us about His return again to this world, to this scene of time. And by this same great truth is the truth that is mentioned here by John in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 1. He says of the Lord, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, Amen." There in that verse before us, John sets before us the promise of the second coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter here before us, John, yes, he pronounces a benediction of God's grace and peace upon the people of God. Look at what he says there at the end of verse 4 of the chapter. He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come." And there we see how God is the source of all grace and all peace. And before an individual can know peace with God and the peace of God in their lives, they must first of all know and experience the saving grace of God in their life. You see then further in this chapter how John, he praises the Lord for loving His people and for cleansing His people from their sins. Look at what he says at the end of verse number 5. He says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." And this is something for every believer to rejoice in, the wonderful love of God and the cleansing away of their sins by the blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. Then we see how John goes on and he exalts the Lord further because of the dignity that he bestows upon his own people. Look at the beginning of verse 6 of the chapter. He says there of the Lord, "And He hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father." And every child of God, through the redeeming work of Christ, is made a king unto God. In other words, they are to live for God live for the glory and honor of God. They're made a priest unto God. They are to offer up spiritual sacrifice, the sacrifice of prayer, of worship, of praise to the Lord. And then we see then in verse number 7 where our text is to be found in this chapter. John then, he announces the return of Christ. He says of the Lord, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Here he speaks of the return of Christ. It's important also to note here at this particular time, John himself was going through a time of great trial and tribulation because of his Christian faith. He was banished now to the Isle of Patmos as an old man where he was to live out the rest of his days. Notice the reference to that in verse 9 of the chapter. He says, and I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that was called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was banished there to that island. That was his persecution that came upon him because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing for us to note here, people, in the midst of his trial, in the midst of his tribulation, John never lost sight of the return of Christ, that Christ was coming back again to this earth. And in like fashion, yes, believer in Christ, in the meeting today, God wants you and I also in this matter to follow the example of the Apostle John. As you and I as believers, as we journey through life, whatever our circumstances are, whatever changes come our way personally, whatever changes come our way nationally or on the world stage, whatever happens, we must never forget, never lose sight of the fact that the Lord is coming back again. He's coming back in power and on great glory. He's coming back to this earth again. You think of what the angel said whenever Christ ascended up into heaven. The angel said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The very same Jesus who went away, the hymn writer says, is coming back, he who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that reason then that I want us to consider this great promise of Christ's return. Our text here says, behold, he cometh. There are three things to note here in regarding this great promise. Notice first of all here with me the certainty of Christ's return. John says of the Lord, behold, he cometh. And there you see very clearly the certainty of the return of Christ. And that again is emphasized by the final words of verse 7 where it says, even so, amen. Here you see that the return of Christ is sure. It is absolutely certain. Yes, the certainty of his return is something that demands our attention. Notice the word behold here in our text. It says, behold, he cometh. And whenever God uses this word behold, he wants you and I to take note of something that is vitally important, something we are not to miss. And in this case, it is the certainty of the return of Jesus Christ. We find that same emphasis back in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, where it speaks of Christ and says, behold, the bridegroom cometh. We're not to miss sight of this great fact, this certain fact, this sure fact that Christ is coming again. By the certainty of Christ's return also is something that is to be proclaimed. And this is really what John is doing in our text when he says, behold, he cometh. Think of a town crier of days gone by who would have made a special announcement to the town or to the citizens of that town or city. And this is really what John is doing here when he says, behold, he cometh. He is announcing, he is proclaiming that Christ is coming back again. You read through the writings of the Apostle Paul in particular, and his different missionary journeys, wherever he went, he spake much of Christ. And he also spake much of the return of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of him preaching in Mars Hill to the people of Athens. He says there of the Lord, he have appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And that man is Jesus Christ. That day is the day of Christ's return, his coming back again to this earth. And people, as a church, yes, it is vital that we also tell out this great truth. Yes, it is vital also that we warn the world and tell the world that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again to this scene of time. It was Bishop Ryle who said, in all our thoughts about Jesus Christ, let us never forget the second advent of Christ. And this is something we must keep before us, something we must tell, proclaim, and preach, and make known. And by the certainty of Christ's return is something that is not to be questioned. It says here, behold, he cometh. There are no ifs here, there are no buts here, there are no questions here about the return of Christ. John is absolutely sure, spot on about this matter. He says, behold, he cometh. And my way, at the very dawn of time, the Bible shows us that Enoch was one who was sure of Christ's return. Just turn back the page in your Bible there to the little book of Jude immediately before Revelation chapter 1. And look at what Jude says about Enoch, and bear in mind that Enoch lived even before the flood. Verse 14 of the little book of Jude says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. In other words, he preached about this. He prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. He made it known. Yes, there was the first advent of Christ when he was born in Bethlehem. But there's also to be the second advent of Christ, when the Bible tells us what Christ shall stand upon the mount of Olivet. Christ himself was sure of his return. He said to his disciples, he says, I will come again. And people, can I say this morning, to question the return of Christ means a person denying the very truth of the Word of God. That's what it means. People, as sure as the sun rises and as sure as the sun sets every day, Christ will come again. Christ will return to this earth. And by the certainty, yes, of Christ's return is something that demands our immediate attention. Something that demands our immediate focus. You notice those words in our text, behold, he cometh. They are in the present tense. And my, this is something that we should be concerned about here and now. The Bible says the coming of the Lord, it draweth nigh. Matthew chapter 24 is one of those chapters that tells us much about the return of Christ. And in verse 3 of that chapter, the disciples ask the Lord a very important question in relation to this matter. They say to him, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They're asking the Lord for the signs of the times, the signs of his return. You read through that chapter when you go home this morning, you'll see that he speaks there of the signs of his return. What are some of those signs? He speaks, yes, about the rise of false religion. He speaks about wars and rumors of wars. He speaks about pestilences and earthquakes. And he speaks about the persecution of the Lord's people. He speaks, he warns about the rise of the Antichrist and the spread of the gospel into all the world. And these are all signs, dear people, that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is near. As the Bible says, it is even at the door. As we look around us today and see all that is happening on the world stage, it is all pointing, dear people, to the return of Christ, to the fulfillment of this prophecy that Christ is coming again. Turn in your Bible back to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, just a little bit back from our Bible reading this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3. And look with me there at verse number 3 and verse number 4 of the chapter. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of this coming, those who will question the return of Christ. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. This is the mark of the ungodly, mocking, laughing, ridicule, scorning the very fact that Christ will come again. And look at the answer of Peter, verse 9, verse 10 of the chapter. He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord," that's the day of Christ's return, "will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." He says the day of the Lord will come. And there'll be great events that will take place and great happenings even in the physical geography of the world and this earth when that happens. The people, the thing here for us to notice is, despite the mockery of the ungodly, the Lord is coming back again. Yes, God is preparing this world for the return of Christ. See that truth today. God is preparing this world for the return of Christ. And in light of this fact, then you and I must be prepared. You and I must be ready for the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God." And friend, let me ask you the question this morning, and it is this: are you prepared today? Are you prepared this morning for the return of Christ? For the coming back again of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this scene of time? Can you say, "Yes, I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm waiting. I'm watching. I'm looking forward in expectation to the return of Christ"? Yes, we see here the certainty of his return. Notice secondly here from our text this morning, notice the visibility of Christ's return. It says there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says of the Lord, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." And here we see that the return of Christ is something that will be seen. It is something that will be noticed by all. In his letter to first the church in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul there says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." His return will be visible, and it will also be audible, for he says he shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. We're told here in Revelation 1, verse 7, that he cometh, it says, with clouds. And people, that is most significant. Turn your Bible back to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse number 30. Here Christ is speaking about his return. Verse 30 of Matthew chapter 24, he says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming," notice it, "in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Notice how it speaks of them seeing the Son of Man coming. It says, "in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory." It says here, "he'll come with clouds," come with the clouds of heaven. And the clouds there really highlight to you and I, dear people, the majesty of Christ. They highlight the power of Christ. They highlight to you and I the very glory of Christ. It says there, "the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory." The psalmist says of the Lord, "who maketh the clouds his chariots." The prophet Nahum says, "the clouds are the dust of his feet." And here the word of God is emphasizing the majesty of Christ's return, the power of his return, the glory of his return. Yes, the clouds, they also depict the very strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the great I Am. For the psalmist also says, "his excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds." And dear people, the return of Christ will be a glorious sight, a glorious view for the child of God. And the people of God, what a sight it will be to see Christ coming in power and in great glory. It will be more glorious than the arrival of any earthly monarch or ruler. Nothing will compare to the coming of Christ, to the second advent of Christ. Think of the words of the hymn writer, "Oh, the glorious sight will gladden each waiting, watchful eye." They were looking forward with expectation to the great sight of Christ's return. You look again at what it says in our text in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "Every eye shall see him." In other words, every eye will see the return of Christ. The return of him who died upon the cross, who was crucified, who rose again the third day. The highest in society and the poorest in society will see Christ returning in power and in great glory. Yes, dear people in this meeting this morning, let me say this, that you and I, yes, we will see the return of Christ. You see, death will not prevent you and I from seeing this momentous event in the history of the world. Why do I say that? Because when Christ returns, the resurrection of the dead will take place of all time. There will be a great resurrection from the dead when Christ returns in power and in great glory. Turn in your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter number 5. And look at what Christ says here in verse number 28 and verse number 29, speaking of his return and the resurrection that will take place at his return. He says in John chapter 5, verse 28, verse 29, he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which," notice it, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. All those who have died before the return of Christ. It says, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And notice it, shall come forth. This is the great resurrection that will take place when Christ returns. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of the life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. My, whenever the Lord returns, there'll be the resurrection, yes, of the saved, those who have died saved. But there will also be the resurrection of those who have died unsaved. But it says here that those who are saved will be raised. Therefore, dear believer, you will see the return of Christ. Yes, the Bible says, "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty." The hymn writer says, "Face to face with Christ my Savior." Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Dear believer in the meeting this morning, let me say this, that when Christ returns, you're going to see him. See him who is your Savior. Him who is your Redeemer. Him who has loved you from eternity past. You're going to see him who has been your friend on earth and throughout the days of your earthly pilgrimage. You're going to see him who is your advocate, who pleads for you at God's right hand in glory. You're going to see him who is Lord of lords and King of kings. What a hope you have, believer, to look forward to. Yes, the Bible says that we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. We will be made like unto Christ and see him as he is when he returns. And power and great glory, what a sight awaits the people of God. The child of God to see their Savior coming in power and in great glory. And dear friend in the meeting, let me say this morning, if you are unsaved when Christ returns, you too are going to see him. You're not going to miss the return of Christ. Look again at what is said there in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. It says, "Every eye shall see him." And then look at this next statement of John, "And they also which pierced him." Who does that speak of? Those words there, they speak of the unrepentant sinner. The person who has rejected Christ as Savior. And friend, if you are found unsaved on the day of judgment when Christ returns, yes, you're going to see Christ. You'll not miss seeing Christ. But you will not see him as your Savior. Nor will you see him as your friend or as your redeemer, but rather you will see him on that day as your judge, the one who is the judge of all the earth, the one who is coming back again to judge this world in righteousness.
Oh, see here the seriousness of this day of Christ's return. Yes, we see the certainty of Christ's return. We see the visibility of Christ's return. But notice one final thought here from our text today. Notice the sorrow at Christ's return. Look at what John goes on to say at the end of verse number 7. He says, "And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Mark that word, wail, there in your Bible. And that speaks of the reaction of all who are unsaved at the return of Christ. Dear friend, if you are still unsaved at the return of Christ, these words here are a picture of you. Yes, you'll be found among those who are wailing at the return of Christ. That word wail there really means to cry out in great pain. It means to cry out in great lamentation. Whenever the Lord judged the land of Egypt in the night of the Passover, the Bible says there was a great cry in Egypt. It was heard all over the land. And that's really a picture of what this wail will mean when Christ returns. Yes, when Christ returns, there's going to be a great wailing amongst the ungodly, great consternation. Yes, when Christ returns for the believer, there'll be great joy and jubilation and hope, but not so for the ungodly. There'll be terrible wailing, sorrow, fear, consternation. Those who have shaken their fist at God and earth in their earthly life will tremble when Christ returns. Turn in your Bible over to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Look at the final verses of that chapter, verses 15, 16, and 17. It says, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman," notice it, "hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" And there you see, dear people, the outworking of this sorrow among the unsaved when Christ returns in power and in great glory. Dear friend, can I say this is a picture of you? Should you be found unsaved on the day of Christ's return, on the day of his judgment, when he returns in power and glory? You see, the Bible shows you and I very clearly that whenever the Lord comes back again, he's going to do two things. He's going to gather all his people who are saved into glory to be with himself. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 16 and 17. You'll see that. Words that are often read at a gravesite of a departed saint of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." This is the comfort of the church, of the believer, of the child of God. What an expectancy to have that Christ is coming to gather his people unto himself, to be with himself forevermore in glory. But he's coming back again to do something else as well, and that is to judge this world for its sin. He's going to judge the devil. He's going to judge the Antichrist. And he's going to judge all those who are unsaved for their sin and for their rejection of Christ as Savior. Turn over to Revelation chapter number 20, and you read about this judgment, the great white throne judgment that will take place when Christ returns in power and in great glory. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse number 10. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast," that's the Antichrist, "and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in those books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell, that's the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that is the end of the unsaved when Christ returns. His great white throne judgment takes place. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Unsaved friend in our meeting this morning, heed here the warning of Scripture. If you are found unsaved in the day of judgment when Christ returns, then you will be cast into, it says there, the lake of fire. In the lake of fire and hell, your body and your soul will be tormented forever and ever. There'll be no escape, no getting out. There you'll be punished for your sins forever. Yes, on the day of judgment, if you're found unsaved, you'll hear that solemn, awful sentence from the very lips of Christ. He will say to you, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And John Newton, the hymn writer, says, horrors past imagination will surprise your trembling heart. What an awful thing it will be to be found before the Lord on the day of judgment, unsaved. Unsaved out of Christ. To hear that awful sentence from the lips of Christ, depart from me. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you are to be ready for the day of judgment and the return of Christ, then now in time you must be saved. You must be born again. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Understand this, you cannot be saved after you die. After you leave this world, the scene of time, there's no hope. And if you are found unsaved on the day of judgment when Christ returns, then it will be too late for you to be saved. All hope will be gone. That is why Christ says to you from his word today, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. If you're not saved in this meeting, if you're listening in today and you're not saved in light of the certainty of the return of Christ, I urge you, I plead with you today to make preparation now today by repenting of your sin before God, putting your faith and trust in Christ and his sacrifice alone for your salvation. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. My, if the day of Christ's return is to be a day of joy and jubilation and hope and expectancy for you, and friend, you need to be saved. You need to be in Christ. Your sins need to be dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. If you're not saved today, come to Christ. And dear believer in the Lord in the meeting this morning, let me say this, as you and I await the sure return of Christ, may you and I also seek to live for God's honor, God's glory, awaiting his return, seeking to live lives to the glory, to the pleasing of God. Let us witness for Christ. Let us serve him. Let us do all we can to point others to Christ. That's our responsibility as we await the return of Christ. Turn back there to 2 Peter chapter number 3. And look again at what is said to the believer in verse number 11. 2 Peter chapter number 3. This is to you and I who are saved. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, on account of the fact that Christ is coming again, What manner of persons ought you to be? An all holy conversation and godliness. Let us look forward as God's people to the return of Christ. Let us warn others of it. Let us live day by day to the glory, to the praise of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the final hymn in our order service. It's number 153 in our own hymn book. It's a great hymn about the return of Christ. It says, "Our Lord is now rejected, by the world disowned, by many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon He'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by." What a hope we have. Let us live and serve the Lord in the light of that hope. We'll keep our seats while we sing as the organist leads us in our praise. Of a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us today.
We thank thee for thy word, behold, he cometh. We thank thee this is the great hope of the believer and the church of Christ. Help us to keep this hope before us day by day. Help us to live and to serve thee, Lord, in the light of this hope. And Lord, for any in our gathering today not prepared, not ready for the coming of the Lord, oh, speak to them today. May they make their preparation even today. They're coming now in faith and trusting the Lord for salvation. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us. Bless us throughout thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. We pray all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen.